Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I'm Howard Feldman, a very good morning to you. So this week has been a rather strange one in terms of the international press. And for me it started, in fact last week, well it's many, many times before, but when I watched the South African media news coverage of the story of Israel, and I wrote an article for the Jewish Report last week where I said, imagine if the story of Little Red Riding Hood begins with a wolf lying peacefully in a bed, in a cottage, and all of a sudden reading a magazine, maybe, when you could still get magazines, and all of a sudden an angry hunter, red-faced and armed, marches, storms through the door, shoots this wolf, slashes open its stomach, and then the story fades. If that story began and ended there, it would be reporting the facts. It would. There would be absolutely nothing in terms of the facts that they weren't reporting that was incorrect. But what they aren't reporting is what happened before and why the hunter was doing that. Now, I'm not suggesting, of course, that we categorize Palestinians or the attacks on Israel as that, but maybe terrorism is the act of the wolf. All I'm trying to indicate is that it's the responsibility of the media to zoom a little bit further out and tell the whole story. I questioned Adrian Basson when he wasn't reporting on all of the terror attacks that were occurring in Israel. Week after week, Israelis were being slaughtered and it wasn't being reported here in South Africa. And I said to him, what's going to happen is Israel is going to retaliate, and then along the lines of international reporting, you are going to report that. And his point was an interesting one. He accepted it, but then he said the problem is that they get their international news from various sources. Now, that to me is a question, because should you be getting your international news on Israel from Al Jazeera, which is a very clearly anti-Israel platform, or should you be trying to get it from neutral to try and bring balance? That's the context, and that's the conversation that I'd like to have with William Bird this morning. He's the director of Media Monitoring Africa, a very difficult conversation to have, but I'd like to try and understand this a little bit more. How important is it to have an international media regulator? William, good morning. Thanks for joining. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on the program.
A great pleasure. I've given you my whole context and my whole spiel. And that's the difficulty that I have, because when you see reporting, reporting's got to be accurate. If Israel is responsible for something, doing something wrong, even an atrocity, it's got to be reported. But at the same time, how do we make sure that things are fairly reported?
Yeah, so I guess there's a couple of mechanisms, but I think the first point is that often reporting outside of our borders, on events outside of our borders, serves quite a different purpose to what people initially think it does, right? Which is that people think, okay, you want to report on stories outside of our borders to know what's going on. And to a degree, of course, that's correct, right? Mm. You want to know who's going to be elected in the American elections, because that will have an impact on us, and you want to know what's happening in the war in Ukraine, etc., because that impacts us directly, right? But that often those reporting on things outside of our borders tends to fulfill a function which is about telling us about ourselves. Often it's about saying things aren't, if you think things are bad here, they're actually a lot worse out there, right? So that's got that kind of a function. So very, and what that does from the get-go is it kind of colors and informs the overall perception we have, right? So when we hear about stories from our continent, right, about whatever's happening in the DRC, and let's say there's a coup in Burkina Faso, the only time we're going to hear about that is on the day of the coup. We don't know the events that led up to that. We don't know about the events that then succeed that, you know, and that then means that when we hear about that, we immediately think, oh, well, of course, look at these nutcases that have gone and done these and these things. And it's exactly the same in the example you set out around reporting on Israel and Palestine, right, which is around the way in which the media approach it from the get-go. Mm. So then you say, okay, what you need to make sure you do is adhere to media that at least adhere ostensibly to professional and accepted standards of ethical and professional journalism. So they can't make stuff up. They have to be able to back it up. They have to be transparent and a level of accountability. And that's where I think your question's really, really interesting, because in South Africa, we can hold our media accountable. We've got the BCCSA, so your station, if we've got a complaint and we address it with you and you're not happy with it, I can still go to the BCCSA and there can be another process to hear that. But if it's an international media, it becomes a whole different kettle of fish to try and deal with, because unless it's a British-based media like Sky or the BBC or something, then you can potentially take a complaint to Ofcom, their equivalent kind of regulator, if you like. But you're not likely to get the same kind of response because you are coming at it from outside of the country. In fact, I'm not even sure if their rules allow that. And then when you deal with other international media, your media based in the States or outside of there, trying to get any kind of form of hearing or some form of accountability becomes even more challenging.
So what's interesting to me is when you take, let's say, a news a media house like Al Jazeera, which is problematic in many ways, but actually when it comes to Israel reporting, it's quite clear because they have a very, very clear stance. They've reported many, many times on false news or fake news that they've had to retract. Surely for that, a organization in South Africa, for example, a News 24, should say, you know what, we can't get our Israel news, we might be able to get other news from them and print and republish other news that they offer us. But when it comes to Israel, they are not impartial. They are not reporting necessarily the facts. And therefore, for Israel news, we are not going to use them as a source. Surely it's the responsibility of our media houses to do that.
So I think locally what you could do is try and, you know, apply pressure to them to say, well, can you tell us the decisions that you make on and that base that you base your decision on which media you are going to get your sources from. And then what they're likely to say is okay, we'll get it from them and from XYZ other source as well to try and balance it, right? Because they will have equally groups saying to them, Al Jazeera is the only organization that is giving us anything like a fair representation of the events that are occurring in Israel on a daily basis. And if you even think about trying to get it from one of these pro-Israeli things, then, you know, we are going to boycott your services as well, kind of thing. So I think that from a News 24 perspective, they will say, okay, we need to obviously then try and find some sense of balance. If it's the case that they find that a news organization, and that's a different thing, right, to saying if a news organization is found to frequently or regularly violate basic, you know, acceptable codes of professional journalism, like, for example, IOL does now in the number of their front page stories where they literally make things up. That undermines their credibility, which means that your chances of trusting a lot of their other contents decrease, you know, significantly because of the fact that they repeatedly are found to have been in breach of acceptable standards of ethical journalism. And I guess that if there's an argument that can be made for that, then, you know, and that evidence is put before the News 24 in this current example, then they'd have a much more difficult case to make about saying, well, this is why we choose to go with Al Jazeera or whichever other entities they get their international news from.
Of course, the other problem with this is that, and it was interesting because in a couple of conversations back, we spoke to a correspondent in Israel and they referred to the fact that there was a Pew report done in the United States who, for example, asked if people knew what BDS, the sanctions movement, was, and most actually didn't. And I do find that in South Africa, generally, we actually don't care, as you started off saying, about issues that were so far away, and because we've got specifically or particularly because we've got so many of our own issues. So what happens is that those of us who are more partial to Israel are more critical of it, notice it, understand it, but others who don't barely even engage in it. So we all definitely do create our own environments where the news that we follow and are interested in becomes something that we are passionate about. Majority of people, I imagine, don't even care.
Yeah, and it's not so much that they don't care. It's just that to kind of find in South Africa where it's just sufficiently difficult to understand what the hell's going on in our own country and the kind of complexities of things, to then get your head around and feel like you've got a sufficient grasp of what the complexities are that are in another country where so many things are different, you know, regardless of where it is. You know, we think we can understand that Americans are completely crazy to allow so many guns and this is why they have so many, you know, wild shootings. And we can't kind of grasp that, even in South Africa where we've got the levels of violence that we have. You know, it's just unfathomable on so many levels. And yet the only time we'll hear about things is when those incidents occur like that. And then we just like immediately think, what's wrong with these people? Why don't they do this? And we then don't know the kind of bigger context to that. We don't understand the issues that lead to that, how people can stand up and say, no, this is what we need is more guns, not less kind of thing, you know. And we don't understand that because we don't have that bigger context. So it's not that we don't necessarily care, I think, as ordinary people that don't have a vested interest in another nation, let's say, but that we just don't say, I don't know if I understand the context sufficiently well to go beyond that the news organization tells me, which of course is a problem because, as you pointed out at the start of this, you then only hear about the incident at that point in time and you just think, oh my goodness, what is wrong with these people?
Absolutely. Jenny says it's not that people don't care, it's just we can't be interested in everything all of the time. We've got to filter and prioritize our news. In fact, our news is very, very late. I was just very interested in this conversation. William Bird,
thanks so much.
Thank you, as always, Director of Media Monitoring Africa.